Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 739. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm eager for this government shutdown to get ended so that Chris can start paying us our podcast salaries again.
We're not a government entity, but okay. Jeff is here as well.
I wish we had a government that supported the arts.
Right? That would be nice.
We're definitely the arts, too.
Other countries do that.
Art for your ears.
Yeah. Anyways, the good news is woke is back.
Sure.
We can't say the R word anymore on this podcast now because woke is back.
Republican?
We can't say that either.
Elections happened on Tuesday here in the U.S.
I was pretty pleased with how things went. I don't know how you could not be, but
yeah, I mean it's a lot of local elections, but yeah, Tony's governor is a good guy again.
Yes. Interestingly, the state of Virginia, I think they're on a streak. They almost always elect a governor that's the opposite party of the party in the White House.
this trade-off, that's nuts.
But it's funny because the election was so one-sided that even the Democratic candidate for attorney general got elected despite like text messages killing his
kids should die. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not great, but
he won anyway.
But yeah, hey,
we're in a war here.
Yeah,
gotta go with the troops we have.
Well, the thing, like, it was the ads were driving me absolutely insane. But they kept showing ads for the Democrat guys. Ads were all like of the Republican guy standing on stage next to Donald Trump. Like it was all about, oh, he's with Donald, and that was all the election was about.
I mean, it seemed to be a referendum on Trump, like pretty fucking hard. So. Hell yeah, dude. Let's carry that energy into next November.
New Jersey elected. I mean, they're a pretty strong Democratic stronghold, but I guess
it was supposed to be a little tighter there.
Yeah, she did real well. Bondomi won in New York for mayor.
That's Earl's out celebrating still.
Yeah. I can't wait to get my free bus rides. that was one of the things he wants to do, right? Like free public transport and city run grocery stores or something, which that could work. That could work real well if they do it right.
Nobody thinks it's gonna happen or work, but who knows, man? Yeah. He's defied the odds so far. He was nobody a year ago, so
I don't watch the Daily Show ever, but I do catch clips on Facebook or whatever. And there was one, I guess it was last night, of I don't know who the Jordan Klepper, I think, is that who it is, the one guy. He was hosting, and he had a funny joke about how like all these rich folks were like how they're gonna leave, and it's like a million people leaving New York is the fastest way for him to open up all that housing, you said.
Yeah.
Like a million people leaving, 9% of the apartments are now open.
There were actual like headlines and saying that a million people would leave. I'm like, no, they're not. What are you talking about, dude?
They always use that as like an argument. Like they said it in France when they were like, we're gonna tax the rich people. Guess what? Those rich people didn't leave.
They didn't go fucking nowhere. Come on.
DeSantis and Abbott both calling, we're going to tax anybody coming from New York.
So ridiculous, dude. It's okay. Like they actively the reality TV. Like it's so ridiculous, dude.
I don't even understand how. Like they want to come to your state. They're bringing their money with them. And you're going to be like, we're going to tax you? What the hell is wrong with you fucking weirdos? Election went good. Locally, I thought the turnout here was low, but the reports have come in. It was actually pretty high. Philly had the highest turnout in a off-cycle election in years. Our Ben Salem, where I live, we voted in all Democrats into the school board. Actually, all the school boards around voted Democrats in, so all the Moms for Liberty folks are fucking gone.
Bye.
Yeah. So yeah, good stuff going on.
There will now be books in classrooms again. It's great.
Yeah, that'll be
cool. Cool thing here is there was nothing going on, so no political ads.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, there was, I did deliver some political ad, like one or two political ads before the election. It was so ridiculous. It was a state rep, like, you know, who represents us in Springfield, sent out a thing, like one of those big, you know, political ads, like through the mail.
Yeah.
And it was basically like, call my office to tell me that you care about healthcare and you want me working on it. It's like, you want me to call your office to tell you to do your fucking job. Like, you know, some issue that you apparently think is important, you need me to call and tell you that it's important. Like, what the fuck? Why did you waste the money on this? Anyways.
Democratic?
Yeah. Oh, like, we got gerrymandered shit. Like, my rep in the House of Representatives, like in Congress or whatever, like, used to be Adam Kinzinger. But, well, first he got to, he went to the dark side or the light side, whatever. So he wasn't going to get reelected anyways. But, like, we drew the district and we got a solid fucking Democrat now. Like, that's the thing I heard for people calling to gerrymander Illinois. It's like, data, we are gerrymandered. We came up with this shit.
Yeah, I could understand like a Republican saying it. It still wouldn't be right. Like, do your fucking job. Like, listen to your.
No, it was someone saying like, and like, they kind of floated the idea a little bit. Like, even Pritzker wasn't. And Pritzker's like really solid, but he's just like, I don't know. Like, he didn't want to say the truth, which is like that we are gerrymandered shit. Like, the best they could do, I think, is squeeze out maybe one more seat, you know?
Yeah. But, so like, you're not Californiaing that shit. Like,
yeah, California could squeeze out at least, you know, 3, 4, 5. Like, so
it's all crazy.
Yeah. Whatever.
But, yeah. So elections were good. Gaming news happened though.
It's not good.
The news, yeah, no, the gaming news is not great. I guess we'll start with the delays here. A game that Tony and I don't believe actually exists. Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra. Was supposed to come out sometime this year. It's been dark all year long. And today they announced, not only is it delayed out of this year, it's delayed out of next year.
Well, I think they'd already announced that it was coming out early next year. And okay, now so it's not. They're like, it's out of early next year. It's in some sort of nether realm now. But like, this is like the kind of game where I kind of feel like it gets announced and then you never hear about it again until you hear that it's been canceled. And I'm surprised we've gotten as much news about it as we have. But none of the news has been, let us show you this, you know, 20 minutes of gameplay. It's all, oh, it's been delayed. We promise you it still exists, but
yeah, it's pretty funny when like you look it up and all the news sites are using like the same image because there's not a lot of imagery. There's only a handful out there, so yeah, that's a thing that's not happening. And unsurprisingly, yeah, probably ever. I don't know. I felt pretty confident that GTA 6 was coming in May, but evidently not. We'll now launch next November. It's over a year away at this point. November 19th, 2026 is when it will supposedly come out at this point. So yeah, 2026, a little bit emptier now, I guess, till the end of it.
And glad I'm not super GTA fan anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'll play it, right?
Like, I'll play it, but I'm not like.
Yeah. I mean, I finally got through GTA 5 this year, so I can wait. I'm sated for a little bit.
they also, one of the Housers came out and said that it's never going to leave the U.S.
Yeah, which I thought was like an understood, I guess maybe not, because I know people wanted it in certain cities and whatnot, but like.
Like the series will never leave the U.S.?
Yeah, the series isn't going to leave the U.S. again, because they want the guns and the outsized characters.
Well, it's always been a commentary on America. Like, that's why I never expected them to go anywhere like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
there is one back from when it was still, like, top-down, not story, like, not really story-driven. It was GTA London.
Really?
Yeah, it takes place in like the 60s though. And now, GTA London 1969.
Never heard of this in my life.
Wow.
Me neither. It's like one of those, it's before GTA 3. So it's like,
I remember that there was a game that tried to be like GTA that was in London, wasn't there?
Yes, that was The Getaway.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, I've always seen the series as like, you know, satire of America. So like, what do you, make fun of Europe? It's not as funny.
Right. So yeah. Not that we were expecting anything different, but I would like them to introduce maybe a different area. Like, cause it's always kind of like bouncing between New York and LA. I get it. They're the two big hubs. And this time around, we're going to get Florida. I don't know. I don't know where else you would bring it, but I kind of would like to see something other than LA and New York.
I've always wanted Chicago for obvious reasons.
Of course.
I think Chicago is a good one that makes sense.
Washington, D.C.?
Washington nice could place. Be fun, yeah.
That could be fun, yeah.
Or Las Vegas. That'd be a great one.
They kind of rope in Vegas, don't they? Like, yeah.
It's unfortunate that for 5 that also wasn't included, but
yeah, San Andreas pissed me off at the time. Yeah, yeah.
San Andreas was San Francisco, LA, and Vegas.
It was like, oh, this is amazing, and like that was my favorite thing about it. And then they come out with GTA 5 and like, we're going back, and you play it, you're like, where the fuck is the Vegas area?
it's just
desert now. Desert. Yeah.
Then it never gets far enough out into the desert for it to be Vegas. So yeah, I'd like to see them do, I think it's San Fierro is the San Francisco facsimile in it, and I can't remember what the Vegas thing was called, but they did have like straight up, they had a strip, like you could go down to multiple casinos. It was neat.
Yeah, San Andreas was awesome.
And then there's some Xbox news. There seems like there's always Xbox news. It's never good news. it came out of Bloomberg that Microsoft is requiring Xbox to hit 30% margins, which explains a lot.
The price increases.
The price increases, their layoffs internally as they try to cut headcount. They're like pushing everything everywhere. A lot of it makes sense that, with the parent company trying to push margins that are higher than any other video game company is making.
Yeah.
Like by like 10%. It's like Nintendo and Sony they're within like 15-20% margins. So to double that or go an extra 10% on that is kind of crazy. Like that's very high that they want them to hit. So,
yeah, but, that doesn't seem possible.
Right.
It kind of says like maybe they're looking like the rest of Microsoft is looking to get out of the video game business if it's not insanely profitable. But I think we've known the whole time that like the rest of Microsoft was basically subsidizing Xbox. Like Microsoft as a company overall was just so successful that it didn't really matter.
Right.
Now they care.
It seems for some reason though that we let them buy up every company because
I think that's kind of it. Like, okay, you have Call of Duty now. Why aren't you insanely profitable? Like, I think that's kind of what it is, right? It's you have all these resources. Where's the results now?
And but even like Activision wasn't pulling in 30%. Like,
no.
And so I guess some of the other stuff that kind of came out of all this is that like companies like Obsidian and Double Fine, like internal companies, they're kind of being penalized because their games are on Game Pass. Because Xbox is like, well, you need to make X amount of money off of, you know, because you have a budget, here's what it is. And then they need our count on Game Pass for them to kind of get credit back. So if they're, you know, if they're not hitting that, they're not getting counts for, I guess, like, it's kind of like Spotify with like, you have to get X amount of plays and that counts as a sold record, except the numbers are way out of whack for companies like Obsidian and Double Fine and Arcane. They're getting hit and need they internally, it almost seems like they would make more sense if they were like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We'll sell our game. But they're being forced to put it on there, being penalized by Microsoft for not hitting certain metrics, sales metrics. It's why I don't know, the shit that's going on like internally accounting wise over there is pretty crazy.
It seems like it will spiral in on itself.
Yeah,
like, okay, well, we're gonna get rid of this company now we'll have nothing, we'll get rid of like the underperforming companies, and now all of the benefits of having Game Pass, which is having all of these games for free, are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer people subscribe, you've raised the price. Even fewer subscribers, like you're going to end up in a spiral where it keeps going down and down, and then you can offer less as you like get rid of these companies which you think are now underperforming. It just
like it's not good.
No.
So that's all bad. I guess maybe good news is Halo announced that they're remaking the first Halo campaign again.
How many times has it been remade?
It's their good game.
It is a good game.
It's their
one good game.
Yeah.
they have other games.
Yes.
Kind of like, I gotta be honest, like I've always loved, like not always, because I didn't play the first Halo like the campaign all the way through when it came out. I played it later, but I've always kind of thought like that one and Reach are kind of like the ones I really like dug the campaign.
And, yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, like there's just something so iconic about that first campaign because it, you know, it's like a new type of first person shooter. So yeah, I'll play it again, I'm sure, but it's like hard to be like, oh, super yeah, excited. Hell yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you get Game Pass, so you know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we'll all play it. It's being made from the ground up in Unreal 5. So the last time they remade it, which was Anniversary Edition, that was done on their proprietary engine, but built on top of the original game. Because you could do the little, like, press the back button and flip between the old visuals and the new ones. This is not using that framework. So they're building everything from scratch. They're rebalancing it for four players. They're adding some stuff like that there were, I guess, original notes on, adding some like there's like a prequel. There's like three prequel levels, I guess, that take place before Master Chief unfreezes in the original game. So they're like adding stuff. I don't know. It's interesting. The fact that it doesn't have any multiplayer.
That's strange.
Yeah. It's like, that's like, I like the campaign. I think we all like Halo campaigns. We think they're really fun, but like what keeps you playing Halo is like when the multiplayer's good.
Yeah.
So this is coming out on everything though. So Halo on PlayStation.
Huge.
Yeah. Is it though?
I don't know.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, it's just like crazy that you're gonna
see. It's weird.
You'll see like Halo on the shelf at the store.
In a PlayStation PS5. Box. Yeah. That's nuts.
But now I guess like the Sony fans could stop pretending Halo sucks.
Right.
Let's not give them that much credit.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll stop being like, yeah, Killzone's better, man.
Oh, God.
I think they did stop doing that.
Yeah, that was a thing. Well,
I think they were like, yeah, Killzone's not that great. I did like Killzone, but it's not Halo. I guess sticking with Halo. Our fucking president, the White House, was out there putting himself in the Master Chief armor in memes, saying that he ended the console war.
God.
And
apparently he ended all war. He's like the president.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Ends it all. So what are we doing? Like what is the government now? Like that's what, this is what they have time to like, we're going to make memes.
Well, I mean, the government shut down, so he's just basically sitting at home waiting, making memes. Got nothing else to do.
Yeah, there's a fucking picture of him in the Master Chief armor holding an energy sword standing on the White House lawn. Like, what are we doing? And then Homeland Security used a blurry image of a warthog. It says, destroy the flood, join ICE. That's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Shittier is that Microsoft didn't even make like the, we didn't authorize the use of our imagery for these. Like they just haven't said anything. Happen. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the best path though, because otherwise you end up in a discussion full of idiots.
Yeah.
Like really, like you're not going to have any conversation with anybody who is there to actually discuss issues. It's all going to be insane people.
Yep. And like, really, like, are you going to sue the U.S. government?
Yeah. Like you're one of your largest customers. Like you're not doing that. You're not.
Right.
You're not doing that. It's. I mean, Master Chief is basically a part of American lore at this point. Like, you can't, like, pretend. I don't know. It's not an endorsement. Like, I don't know. It's just not a whole lot to argue over.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked to see them at least make the bare minimum. Like, hey, we don't endorse this. I mean, they do whatever they want, but just what Pokemon Company did.
It's also Microsoft, which is, like, of the faceless corporations, right?
Right.
We can pretend that they stand for something. They don't really.
Yeah, they don't. Like they stand for money. Like that's what they stand for. So yeah, that's what I have in news. Earl still has not joined us, so I don't know if he had anything extra in news.
Fuck the news.
Yeah. Fuck the news.
Yeah.
So what have you guys been playing?
Video games.
Anything in particular?
I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pick me.
Because you're going to love when I start talking and your brain's going to shut off. So you can play your break for that time.
I've been playing a lot of Ball Pit, which kind of made it a bit of an impact. Has anyone played it yet?
Not yet. Both you and Earl have been like, hey, this game's really cool.
Yeah,
it's
Sean.
It's a roguelike, right? It's one of those games that
pulls. It's Vampire Survivors, dude. It's Vampire Survivors. Like it. Well, not as much Vampire Survivors, like copy and paste, like that. There was one Earl was telling us to check out like a month ago.
Well, that's dwarf also on thing.
Deep
Rock Galactic is not. Is not as good as Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, and it's that one is like very much the same game. Like at least I didn't play much of it, but this is like it's vampires, like everything about Vampire Survivors, but applied to like you know everyone calls it like Vampire Survivors meets Breakout or like Arkanoid or something like that. Huh? But the thing is like. Yeah, that's basically what it is, but like there's parts of it that to me make it feel like a shmup because the rolling and you know you have bosses where it becomes kind of a bullet hell and you're trying to avoid their shots while getting your shots in, which is all very shmup stuff. And I love shmups to begin with, so it was like you combine Vampire Survivors with that, and it's just, it's really awesome game. And then in between levels, or you know, after you beat a level or fail a level, you have a town that you go back to that you're managing, kind of like ActRaiser, where it's like you're just like setting up buildings, and then you set up buildings and like crops and stuff, and you send people out to harvest. But like say. You build a new building, like you set up a new building. In order for that building to build, you have to send like the harvesters. Like it's a very simple town building. Like you aim them at that building and shoot them at the building, and like, you know, it needs, you know, 20 harvesters have to hit that building, and then the building is complete. And all these things you're building are like basically like, I mean, you are leveling up in general, anyways, but it's like. Giving you different, like, so, like, one awesome building I built recently lets you have an extra ball slot. The balls are your weapons. Like, so, like, it's like you're going from 4 weapon slots to 5. That's huge. Like, so you cannot, like, ignore the town building aspect of it. You know, and some of the buildings you build will give you a new character. But, like, everything else, like, everything feels like Vampire Survivors, where, like, you're collecting gems as you kill. As you get enough, you level up, and then you could choose from, like, one of three upgrades, right? And then the way evolving the weapons work, though, is awesome because you could combine weapons and, like, come up with your own wacky combinations. And one to just
you can come up with your own combination. You're not, like, beholden to the ones.
No. And it'll create something new and unique. I mean, there's like a limited number of things, obviously, you can make, but like, and there's certain things like you would not be able to combine, I guess, whatever. But like, what's cool about that is you get a like cool, even nastier weapon that kind of combines the strengths of both the weapons you had, but then that frees up a slot. So you're constantly like combining the weapons, right? And freeing up slots and like, so yeah, you always technically only have like 3-4 weapons, whatever, right? But like, kind of like just adding to it, like the damage you're doing at all times. That's really neat. I'm trying to think what else I would want to add about this. It's really good. Like there's like 8 levels, which would make it smaller than Vampire Survivors. Although I don't know how many like. I bought all the DLC for Vampire Survivors, so like I don't remember how big or small that game was to begin with.
There was a good amount. It was maybe about 8 levels. Yeah. Like they took about 20 minutes. Well, it was like a half hour, right? Like the time of the one was like a half hour.
So. Yeah, the runs here are way shorter, 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, that's cool.
And there's only 8 levels yet, but like I'm stuck on 7. I cannot get past 7, no matter what I do, how much I level up my characters. I just remembered the last thing I want to mention about this game that's really cool. One of the buildings you get to build is called Matchmaker. And what that building allows you to do is to bring 2 characters out with you on a run and basically basically evolve what those 2 characters, like you're combining, you know, because every character has a different like thing about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
what the qualities or perks are of those characters into one, and that allows you to come up with some really wacky camp. Like, I came up with a combination the other night. I was so proud of. I'm sure a million people have thought of this, but so the way it usually works is it's kind of like a shmup. Like you're like shooting the balls out of your character, like a spaceship.
Good. Yeah.
But there's a character called the Shade who he sits at the back of the field. So he sits at the top of the screen and shoots the balls down. Then there's another character. I forgot what he's called. Like the Shieldinator or something. And all he has is a gigantic ass shield where if balls bounce off of it, they do 100% more damage. So I came up with this combo that one guy shoots from the top. And then I have this guy with a giant shield at the bottom. And it really makes it feel like Arkanoid or something like that then. Because like the balls are coming down and you're trying to catch them. You know, it's not like you shooting. Yeah. So you can have fun with that. Like you can combine. There's certain characters they won't let you combine because their powers would negate each other. But for the most part, you could like come up with some really interesting combos. But yeah, I don't know what to say other than like if you like Vampire Survivors, you definitely owe it to yourself to check this game out because I think it's so good that like I bet you the guy who created Vampire Survivors is looking at it like, damn it, that could have been my sequel. Like I could have been like what I would have like because like what do you do for a Vampire Survivors sequel? I don't 100% know. Oh,
so that I did miss in news. Because the sequel to Vampire Survivors was announced.
Mm. Oh.
It's more Vampire of a spin-off, I guess. It's more of a spin-off, but Warhammer Survivors it's just more Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, so like they've been doing that all along though with the DLC. It's like, oh, here's the Contra adventure, here's this.
Right. And this is going to be a tone game. Yep.
But if you want to do Vampire Survivors 2, it's like, I don't know
what you add. Yeah.
I think my idea at one point was like, do it with different graphics. Like, I guess, like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, here is like, it's applying everything that is Vampire Survivors to a game that feels the same but different. You know what I mean? It even is like, like when you start off, it's like you're pressing, I think, the right trigger or something to like shoot the balls. But very quickly, it tells you you could turn on auto shoot, and I have not turned it off since. Because why would you? And then it feels 100% like Vampire Survivors, where it's just like you're constantly shooting stuff, picking up gems, picking your upgrades, you know, treasure chest type shit and all that. And so like I don't know, like it's. It's great. It's a really great game. Like it'll be in my top 10 for sure.
Nice. Earl did say that we should expect it in his high up on his list as well. So
it will be very high in mine as well. Like I think my only first like I had nothing bad to say about it until I reached level 7 and I just like can't like the enemies are so dense and thick coming down. You know, coming down the screen in level right. 7, and they take so much damage before they die. I'm like, I just don't get. Like, I'm trying different combos, leveling up my characters, leveling up my town. Nothing is getting me through it. I'm sure there will be a breakthrough moment. Like, you know, you would get into moments like that in Vampire Survivors too, right? Like,
yeah.
But like, I fully expected the breakthrough moments come way earlier. Like, I cannot believe. It's like making me play the game less because I'm like, I just know every run I'm going to just peter out near the end of it. Like, it's just, I'm just going to get, you know, because they like, they keep moving down the screen, they crowd up on you and just start hitting, like, direct physically attacking you, and you just die. Like, so it's just like, if I can't clear the screen, like, you know, and you get things to help. Like, you build a building that lets you revive once, right? So that's right. Cool. Then you could upgrade that building, and it lets you revive with more health than, you know, instead of, like,
so the start... buildings and the upgrades are kind of like, just kind of like the upgrade menu in Vampire Survivors, where like
you... they're layered on top of everything that you would expect. And like, so like, you do still level up your characters on their own independently. You okay. do still upgrade your weapons as you play a run. So it's like everything that Vampire Survivors does, it does, but the buildings are like adding stuff on top of it. Here's an extra weapon slot. Here's
right.
You could revive after you die. Yeah. So like,
so the stuff like when you go to in Vampire Survivors, there's like the stuff you could spend gold on,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you know, some of it are buffs, some of it are like you get more challenge.
Yeah, cards. Yeah. Like you'd have the level up screen type thing. Yeah, I guess you.
You're kind of right. It's not even the level up screen. It's like
no, yeah, I'm saying like there's like that. Things that are within the run, and then there's things yeah. that you yeah. would,
that yeah, are yeah. that are like
it kind of works like that. But like I guess you're right. But the town building aspect, I think, is, you know, it's nothing major. Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah, exactly. It's nothing major, but it is like, it's very, like, at first you're like, oh, I don't want to have to learn town building. But it's literally like, place a building, throw guys at it. The building is built. And then, you know, like, put that building somewhere out of the way so the next building you build, you could easily shoot the guys at. Like, and you can keep expanding your land. So, like, I have like a million buildings now. Doing different things. And yeah, so like, yeah, I always say ActRaiser because like, it reminds me of that where it's like, I remember when I first played ActRaiser, I was like, what the fuck? I gotta do this now? But it's like, it was kind of a neat thing about that game. And it was not super complicated. It, you know, it's not like you're playing SimCity or something. You know what I mean? It's,
right.
it's very yeah. basic. Like, yeah.
All right. I have it downloaded. I just have not got into
it's dangerous like it'll suck you in for sure,
yeah, which is more what I was afraid of is like if I start this then like everything else and I just bought like a bunch of games like
yeah, yeah. I'm with you there. I'm certain games right now I can't play because
I'm in that boat, but like I tried it out and I was like I knew this was gonna happen, but
all right, I'm installing it right now. Just saying, I'm not going to play it, but I'm installing it.
It's there. I will definitely be playing it before the end of the year because, like, it sounds like it's a game that I'm going to love. But it's
yeah, if you guys like Vampire Survivors, I'd be shocked if you didn't like it. Although I did convince my friend who lives down the street because he was the guy that went like super deep on Balatro. But he liked Vampire Survivors quite a bit, and I was like, dude, this is like. I was like, word on the streets is this is the next Balatro / Vampire Survivors or whatever. He bought it because I don't think he has Game Pass right now. So, like, he bought it on Switch. And I could see, I checked his profile. It's like, last played more than 1 week ago. Like, he hasn't touched it. I'm like, Jesus. Like, he's literally like, when I looked at his profile, he's like playing the Donkey Kong Bonanza. I guess there's a demo, like a free demo of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I guess you really didn't like. I don't know. Sorry for that recommend. I thought you'd like it. So I don't.
It's all good.
I would be shocked at somebody if you love Vampire Survivors as much as I do. I'd be shocked if you didn't totally dig this, and especially like. Well, I don't think like Chris, you're like as into shmups as I am, but I love shmups, and it just feels like just such a cool combo of the two.
I'm not, but like I've heard a lot of people also say like what you did earlier, like it's like Breakout and Arkanoid. So like there's like an arcade game type feel to it.
Yeah, well. and it's just like
gotta work for me.
It has that look of like brick breaking, but like I don't know, like I feel like as the levels intensify, like near the end of the level, I'm like, this feels like a shmup. Like this is like my shit. So
way more intense at that point.
Well, yeah, it just becomes more like especially when you're facing a boss, they'll be throwing shit out that you have to like watch their patterns and move around and mm-hmm. Get out of the way of their bullets. So It's fun.
Which is more like that is more in depth, more complex than what Vampire Survivors is, right? Because like a boss shows up in Vampire Survivors, and like
it's just a stronger.
Your strategy is still the same. It's just kind of like stay out of its way and like let your weapons kill it.
So, yeah, whereas it becomes like a shmup boss fight at the end. And then sometimes like your combo of characters that you picked could be a problem. You know, like I said, like the one I said, the guy tossing balls from the top and the guy in the bottom, you know, with the shield to bounce them back. If they're not getting through the boss at the top, they're just kind of, your balls are kind of stuck up there while you're taking damage and shit. Like, I don't know. We've gone on way too long about this, but yeah, it's a really good game that kind of deserves to talk, but I hope you guys play it so that we can discuss it more.
Yeah, we will. You play anything else besides ball pit, whatever the hell it's called?
I've played most of Dragon Quest 1 in the remake.
Okay. Did you finish 3? Or did you just circle back and play 1?
No, so like at 3, I got to the very, like the end of the very final dungeon. Not the final boss. Like I had to beat this thing and then beat another thing and then I would fight it was literally just like 3 bosses in a row.
Yeah.
And I got stuck on the first boss. And I was just like, fuck. Like, it made me so angry. And I guess that's
as old games do.
Yeah, I guess that's the kind of thing with these early ones because I'm near the end of Dragon Quest 1 and it's becoming like ridiculous. Like we're just like, come on, dude. But more so with Dragon Quest 1 because that is, you don't have a party. You're just the hero.
Yep, it's just you.
And the cool thing about that is that you don't have to decide what kind of character you are. You just kind of like use whatever the best equipment is instead of going like, oh, I got this like this helm, like who do I put it on, or you know what I mean, like
right, you know, like, I got this new armor, new sword, new wand or whatever, like it's mine, like it's better than the old shit,
yeah, numbers like, higher, good, like so that's cool, but like it does make it harder near the end of the game because without a party, it's like this juggling act where you, before the next turn, you're like, do I have enough health to withstand whatever this, like, withstand whatever, like, this, like, boss could do? Or do I need to heal? And then, like the last boss I was, like, stuck on, I was stuck in a loop where I just had to keep healing. And then anytime I took a chance, like, it would fucking kill me. Like, you'd think, like, oh, I got tons of HP. I could totally withstand whatever he's going to do. And then, like, they pull these massive, like, one-shot moves off on you. And you're like, what the fuck? So did you ever play through Dragon Warrior, Chris?
I did on the original Nintendo. Like, my neighbor had it. I borrowed it from him, and I beat it that way.
You have an idea. I have been talking to someone on Twitter who's playing it, too. And she is, like, I think they messed up the balancing even worse in this, where, like, the bosses are harder near the end. I was like, that's great. But it's still like fundamentally it's doing all the things I love about Dragon Quest 3, like just really kind of breathing new life into this really, really old 8-bit RPG. It feels modern enough. And it's short. Like the first one is pretty short. Again, like I have one or two things to do. Basically, one or two things to kill before I could like go to the final area.
Yeah, like, my understanding is the first and second games are like the same length as the third game, like the two of them combined.
So, like what I saw when the reviews for this remake came out is that it's interesting too. Like, and the girl I've talked to on Twitter, like she said that like Dragon Quest 1 feels like a whole new game. Like they added and changed so much that it really felt like a new game. Like, and they added so much story stuff to it that she was like, it basically feels like a new game using the same map. As for 2, I've gotten to 2 yet, but what I saw the reviews is like, you're talking 30 to 40 hours to be 2. Like, but it's interesting. So like Dragon Quest 1, they're saying this version of it is 10 to 15. I'm 15 hours in. I'll probably put in 25-30 hours before I beat it, which is crazy because, like, I guess the NES game is kind of a 5-hour game, like 5 to 10 hour game.
It's like 10.
Yeah,
like 5 is way too short. Like, I'm sure there are people that can beat it in 5.
You look up a walkthrough, you can see videos that are like 3 hours.
I'm sure that they're also
cutting ways to break it. Yeah,
all the grinding and yeah.
And I could, if I wanted to right now, I just remembered this, like, they added more accessibility, like, to this over 3, where, like, basically you do an easy mode where you can't die. I have not tried this yet, because I just feel like that kind of breaks.
Oh, yeah, it will break it.
But, I get pretty, now that I remember that, I'm like, maybe I can just get past these couple things game and go to 2. I'm excited to try out 2 because it's you get the full party and all that pretty hard as well. I'm really enjoying the series and getting to experience these old ones in a new package that feels kind of new is nice.
Yeah, I'm still playing 3, so I'll get 3 is fantastic. To 1 so at some point.
Yeah,
that was one.
One is not as good as 3 yet. Not one is not as good as 3, but
I'm sure. But like one was
still
like
still good.
That,
yeah,
and that's the one I, you know, that's the one I originally played. Like, I did not play 2 and 3 before.
And one feels like the blueprint, like the like. This is what an RPG is. You know what I mean? Like it just feels like the most basic. Like, you're the hero. You're trying to stop the Dragon Lord. You know, it's just there's something about like. Going back to the very basic idea of what an RPG is, that's neat. But boy, I could use a healer.
Yeah, I bet. I'm excited to give him a try. So, anything else besides Dragon Quest?
Not really. Like, those are the two I've been stuck on for the last couple of weeks. I did get to the final boss of Pokemon and gave up because the boss was annoying as fuck.
you got pretty far. So
I got like the boss had like a quarter health left. Like, that's how close I was to the very end of Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And I do want to get past it eventually because, like, I'm sure there's end game stuff to do and you can kind of fuck around and find more Pokemon. But, It's that game is kind of slipping through the cracks for me just on the basis of so like all these other games that are coming out that I really want to play. And
yeah,
it's just been like all year's been a pretty steady release of games, but like I got to a point over the last month where it's like things have piled up in a bad way. Where like I think the last show we talked about Tormented Souls 2, I have not touched that since because I'm just like. I don't, you know, I'm not a teenager. I don't have fucking, like, yeah, I don't have kids, but, like, I do have to go to work and shit. Like, I can't keep up with all this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's too much.
I have a bunch of games installed right now that just came out. I'm like, I can't not get these games, but I don't have time to play them.
Yeah. That's
There's only so much time.
Like, I have Mortal Kombat installed that came out. I have not taken a look at that at all. And like, I love the documentary stuff that Digital Eclipse does. Have not looked at any of that.
Outer Worlds 2. I keep staring at it. I have it installed.
Yeah, I have played that. We'll talk about that shortly. There's so much stuff.
So Europa Universalis 5, Jeff's game of the year. I haven't played it yet. Sorry, Jeff.
What's your game? I mean?
Europa Universalis 5.
Oh,
it's you know, your game of the year, Jeff.
Your game.
How don't you know this? All right, Tony, what have you been playing?
So I have continued to play Ghost of Yotai. That game is really the story in that game is really, really good.
Okay.
The one thing I will give it over Assassin's Creed Shadows. The story is super cohesive, and like, since they have the one character and like the one shaping event that they build everything else around, like everything points to that. So like, all like the little side quests, like you'll get like little conversations about, like everything seems to be part of a cohesive whole, which is really cool to have a game that is as broad as it is,
right,
but still still is cohesive. I think that's really well done. I'm far enough in it now that I've unlocked all of the melee weapons. So if you played the first game, you did all of your melee with the sword, and there were like different stances. In this game, you have different weapons. So like, you can and you can fly. You can switch between them in combat based on who you're fighting. So like, I forget what it's called. There's this thing like it's like on a chain. It's like a sword and a ball on a chain. Like mm-hmm. if you're facing off against sword guys, you can use that to break their shield, or shield guys, you can break their shield with it.
It's like a sword with a flail attached to it, or
yeah, basically it's like a dagger that's attached to the end of a chain that you can like swing around. There's like this giant sword that you can whip out when the enemies are really big. That's actually hard to hold up. At some point you unlock like a spear. You can also just whip out two swords at once and hold one in each hand. So you can like bait, like that's good against like shield, spear enemies. So basically you go into combat and you can like keep switching based on the guy that you happen to be particularly encountering at the time, which is cool. And I've unlocked most of the other cool off weapons. So like you can drop a smoke bomb in the middle of combat, and you can like throw little daggers. You can also throw actual bombs. So you can like explode your enemies. And then when you get like, you get unlock all sorts of different ranged weapons. So you unlock a pistol and like a rifle, and there's like a bunch of different kinds of bows. So like this game kind of tries to pile on all the different weapons, which is interesting. There's almost too many though. Sometimes you'll end up in the middle of combat and you're like, which button is it to do the combo with this particular weapon? Because like it's one out of six that I know the combos for. I can't remember. But that gets kind of annoying. But I am enjoying that game. I'm like
good.
A little over 30 hours in. I'm starting to get to the end now. So be done with that one pretty soon.
So it's not 60 hours like I said.
No. Well, there's only one character. If it were two, maybe it would be 60 hours.
All right.
And the other game that I have put some time into is Master of Command, which is one of the more interesting strategy games I played in a while. I have a hard time using the word good. It's a good start, I guess.
Okay.
The basic premise is it's a roguelike where you're in command of an army. So it drops you into this area, and you have like these missions that you can go fulfill. But basically you take your army around the area and you fight little battles in order to gather resources to build your army larger. And when either enough time has passed that the large boss army in the area comes and attacks you, or you decide that you've built your army up strong enough and you go and attack it, you fight this like massive battle, which determines whether you win in the area and move on to the next area, or your journey is ended. It's an interesting concept. It's sort of like, when I was looking at what I had first learned about the game, I just thought it was like a history game that took place during the Seven Years' War, which it is. Right.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not really. It's very, very much like a rogue-like game where you're like, everything is randomly generated and you're walking around this area of stuff. The army building is fun. Like as you get resources, you can buy units. And as you fight in battles, your units upgrade and you can decide like the upgrade path. And each one is kind of treated like it would be like a character in an RPG, where you can equip it with like certain weapons and then certain items that make it stronger in certain ways. That's all pretty cool. I find though that certain elements of the game are kind of lacking. For instance, you're fighting lots of little tiny battles. There's no auto resolve function, which you would normally see in a game like this. Like as you start marching around with your army and it gets up to like 18,000 guys and you're fighting all of these battles against 3,000 guys, like I'm going to win this battle.
why do I have to watch this?
Why are you making me fight it again? Because I've already fought this battle like 7 times. I don't want to do it again. That is annoying. I'm assuming that is one of those things that they'll fix as time passes. What they're probably not going to fix is the battles themselves are sort of Total War-esque. So, like, you know, they feel really natural to me as having played lots of Total War games. That's fine.
Right.
All of them feel exactly the same. So they start off, the battles are in this really weird shape. Like the battlefield itself is like a giant rectangle. And they put you at one end of the rectangle and they put the enemy all at the other end of the rectangle. And then you march towards each other and fight. And that's the battle. Every time. Every battle is exactly like that every single time, which gets kind of frustrating. Based on where you are on the map, the terrain in your giant rectangle can be different. Mm-hmm. So there'll be like hills and there'll be rivers. And the terrain does have some sort of effect on the battle. Like if you put your artillery on a hill, it will shoot farther and it will like gain bonuses from being on top of the hill. But like you start to notice like the things that are wrong with the terrain. Like for instance, your units don't align themselves with the terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if there's a river in the middle, you like watch your guys like float magically over top of the water. or you're trying to like line your army up with the fence line. Good luck with that. The fences are like designed to look like real fences in real life, but your troops only line up in an actual line. So like if the fence is like they're like bend, like your guys won't line up properly.
Just look, go through it.
Yeah. So some of them are standing out in the middle of nowhere. They wouldn't be like, it's not really realistic. Like troops are not dumb. They're going to hide behind stuff when they're being shot at. And that just doesn't happen. The battles, they feel like really light, which given the fact that they make you fight every single goddamn battle, you kind of feel like they would feel more in depth and they don't. So I don't know. It's a fun concept. It just doesn't feel like it's all the way there yet.
Is it early access or
odd part for me is that it's not early access.
Oh.
The game had a demo come out a few months ago. So there's been like that was kind of the route they were going with this, and like this is the full release. But they're still working. They patched like 7 times since it came out like a week and a half ago. So I don't know. They're still madly working on it. It's a very small dev team that's like this is their like first thing. I mean, it's fine. It's just not great. Like it's a nice proof of concept.
is it like a normal $50 strategy game or is it?
It wasn't even. I think I got it for $27.
Okay, so that's you know at least
the pricing was right. That was the only reason like I bought in because I sort of knew like it was going to be different like this.
Got it. All right. All right.
I played more Battlefield.
And the multiplayer, have you tried any of the campaign
I have not tried yet, the single player. I have the campaign installed. I don't know that I will ever play it.
That's fair.
I have not
heard good things about the campaign.
No, I've heard nothing good. Absolutely nothing. But there are like, you know, things you can unlock for the multiplayer. Not actual weapons, but like, you know, skins and
stuff. Yeah.
I don't care about those things though.
Yeah, so I got my bonus at the end of, well, I knew my bonus was coming in at the end of October. So I decided to order the Xbox Ally X, the Asus, the
new handheld. Oh, that's cool.
And I wasn't expecting it to come in until November, because that's what I was seeing on Best Buy. I was like, you know, the first shipments went out, they were October 17th, and it didn't look like they were refilling on Best Buy until middle of November. I just happened to go to Asus's website directly, and they shipped it out in 4 days. So I received it last week. It took a little while to get it set up. So what I'll say for Jeff is that it is not an Xbox. It's a handheld PC.
Oh no, Jeff's out.
It is. I mean, it took me like 4 hours to get it set up. And that's, I think for Jeff, like, who's looking for like a, you know, like a Switch, this is not that. The Steam Deck takes way less, like the Steam Deck is the handheld PC console type thing. This is more PC than that. The new Xbox interface though is neat. It boots right into the Xbox app. You can load your stuff on there. You can also install like the other launchers. So you can install Steam, you can install GOG, Epic. If you want the EA launcher for whatever reason, you can install that. Ubisoft, anything you need. And then those are all accessible just by pressing the Xbox button. It brings up like a little window, and then you can choose like the icon you want. So if you want to jump and play a Steam game, you hit Steam, it'll load up Steam. Took me a little while, but I actually have now worked that. So it just loads directly into big picture mode, which works real well with the controller. Because otherwise it's Steam. And so if you view Steam, the games list is just a list on the like left hand side. That is not navigatable with the controller. So like,
oh no,
you either have to do it by touch or hook up a mouse. So, but you can launch into big picture mode, which then gives you kind of like console-ish experience where it's like, all right, do you want to install Final Fantasy Tactics? You just select the game, it brings you to, you know, the where it says install, and you just press that. So that works real well. That's nice. The Xbox stuff is fine, like the Xbox app stuff is fine. You have access to all of your Play Anywhere games, so anything that plays on your Xbox and on your PC, you have all of that. It also, I still have Ultimate for Game Pass, so I can access all of my games that are now streamable directly from that device. Like, if they just show up as a game in my library. Yeah. And it works real well, because I installed The Outer Worlds 2, and I've been playing that on it.
Oh,
and it plays real well. So I would not recommend this device for Jeff.
Jeff's out.
Yeah. If you're looking for a handheld that, like, for me, I really like my Steam Deck, but one of the things that like is kind of annoying about it is that I have a lot of games on PC that are from GOG or Epic or through the Xbox store, and they're accessible, but it's a pain in the ass. Like, you have to jump through major hoops. This allows me to do it all. Like, I can access all my Steam stuff, all that, just right from there. And it's pretty powerful, because it's like playing a game that just came out with The Outer Worlds 2. So, neat device. I'm going to get a lot of use out of it. I don't know what the use case is for other people though. Like, it's a $1,000 device. So like, that's not cheap.
I'm just going to tell my wife I want it for Christmas.
So I don't know. I don't know if you would get the most out of it. Like,
no, I mean, price point alone, I was already like, eh, what the fuck?
Is your wife going to set it up for you? Because maybe that
she would not have no fucking clue.
Yeah, it's like the whole setup stuff was way too long. And now that it's up and running, I think it's like it works real well. The Xbox interface seems a little buggy, where you know button presses just don't pick up sometimes with it. And I was thinking maybe it's the hardware, but then when I'm in a game, everything works perfectly. Like all the buttons work. So it definitely seems like the Xbox app interface, this new, like, kind of like Xbox big picture mode. So, and you can also toggle into the actual Windows. So, like, if you want to use, you know, Chrome or Edge and do something on the internet, you can. If you want, like, the
widescreen porno, baby,
you could watch that if you wanted. Like one of the things people were kind of making fun of is that, like, oh, it comes installed, like Teams is installed. It's a Windows device. Like it is a Windows PC. It just comes with an Xbox controller attached to the screen. Like it's still coming with all the shit that Windows comes with. Do you want Office 365? It's on there. Like I don't think it's a way to use it, but it's there. So people like kind of making fun of it for having Teams and stuff. Well, it has the full Windows experience. Like you have all that. It's just on a separate tab. And when you open that, you lose some of the power behind it because it boots into this Xbox environment that has freed up some memory and makes the games play well, like The Outer Worlds 2, which I've been playing on it. It plays really well. And that game's fun. That game's really cool. It is, I really like Starfield, which I finished earlier this year.
Yeah.
But this is kind of really what I wanted out of Starfield.
Starfield with personality?
Yeah, there's personality. That's the thing. It has personality. Like, it's a sci-fi game that has, like, fun characters. It's Fallout in space. And Starfield was very serious sci-fi in space.
Yeah.
And this is more like, we're having fun. Like the dialogue is stupid. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, funny, like, lines, some corny jokes. You know, if you played The Outer Worlds, it has that vibe, like, that kind of feel to it. So there's a lot of really good Obsidian writing in it. I think it is better written than Avowed, which was more serious. Like, there was some fun stuff in that, but Avowed was trying to be a little bit more serious fantasy. This is just goofy sci-fi.
I've been working on my top 10 list because I always look at it. I saw Avowed on there. I'm like, I barely remember that game. Just playing.
There's so many
games. The game came out this year.
Yeah. I played through it and I liked it, but it is a great example of, like, one, I just feel like there's just been so many games this year that are, like, pretty good at bat, like, at least, you know what I mean? Like, it's just been a constant flow where, like, something in a slow year might be in my top 10 or my top 5, and I don't even know if it'll make my top 10. Like, I'm just like, it was good. It was cool. Like, it had a cool twist on the genre, but, it's crazy to me, dude.
So, refresh my memory, if you guys can. Did Avowed have, like, an encumbrance?
Yes. I can't remember.
It did.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think The Outer Worlds 2 does. I'm just picking up fucking everything.
Awesome. I'm in.
That's one thing. Hey, that's one thing I love
fucking
about
awesome.
From software games. Like, there's an encumbrance, but it's only on what is on, like, what you equip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, there's a certain weight you could carry on you, but you could carry as much items like around with you, like, or weapons or whatever. Like, you have hundreds of things. It doesn't matter. That's how it should be.
I think in Avowed you could send it to your camp if you were carrying too much stuff. I think
just like automatically send it there.
Yeah, like Baldur's Gate 3 does the same thing, where if you're carrying too much stuff, you send it to your camp.
From Software gets it right. The only thing that matters is the things that you equip. The rest of it is just like, yeah, it's a menu that you can choose from. Like, you know, that's how it should be, I think.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. But either way, Outer Worlds 2, it does not seem to have any encumbrance. So I'm just like picking up everything I come across. And they give you pretty early on, like, so there's an epilogue, not an epilogue, there's like a prologue area, which is like your tutorial. And then the real story starts. And before you kick off on your first real planet, you are given this device that basically, like, you shoot acid at bodies or robot, you know, carcasses or whatever, and it just melts them all. Well, but everything has like stuff that you can pick up to craft. And so I'm just walking around and disintegrating everything. Like, there's like dead bodies as I'm walking down this path because there was a big battle, and I'm just disintegrating all of the corpses, all of the robots that attack them, and I'm picking up all of like the craftable materials and stuff. And in like a Fallout or Skyrim, I feel that with the amount of shit I picked up, I would have been getting alerts like, you're carrying too much. Like, I'm just, everything I come across, I'm picking up. Except for the stuff that says don't steal, because I did that. And the guards, they didn't fuck around. They killed me. They do try to arrest you. I try to talk my way out of it. And it just descended, like, six guards descended on me immediately. So,
oh no.
You have partners. You had partners that would go out with you in the Outer Worlds as well. This, you have a party of two. So now you're traveling with two companions. You can send the other one back to the ship. Like, if you you can transfer them in and out, and the other one will sit on the ship. The companions all seem to have like their own sort of quest lines that you can follow along. The main quests are pretty neat, similar to the first one, like siding with one group may lock you out of doing stuff for the other group because like they just don't align with you. You can't do everything. So if you like choose up one path, that's kind of the path you're going to be on for that quest line, and you may not be able to interact with the other ones. Also, sometimes, like, I don't know if you guys remember from the first one, like, there were some quests that you would do things that, like, this seems like the right thing to do, and then the outcome is just horrible. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, we freed all the workers from this thing, and then they were, like, somebody else took over, and they were worse than the previous corporation that was running things. So there are, like, you don't know what's going to happen, so it's like, I'm just doing this thing that I feel is right. It could turn out to be drastically terrible for all the people that you're working to help. So some really good writing. It's fun. And it plays real well on that, the Ally X. So. And that was it. That was all I played.
It's another game that,
you're going to get to at some point.
I had it downloaded weeks before it came out, and yeah. I'm just like I can't do two RPGs at the same time.
That's where I am. I need to finish Ghost of Yotai before I start this. I can't do
two. Yeah, like that big, like
I can't
yeah.
cross over between them.
It's like I could do Dragon Quest and Ball Pit, and that's kind of, you know what I mean. Like, you have the one game that's like the arcade game, and the one game that's like the deep. Yeah, I can't do. Oh, you know what? I did play something else, Chris.
Yeah.
Everybody played half of Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, because that came out on Halloween, right?
Yeah. So I was playing a little. spooky little Nintendo game on Halloween. I never played the first one. I mean, I've touched okay. it. I had played it, but I have not played through it. So I got like way further than I ever did before. That's a cool little game that I get the references to Resident Evil now, having played through it, because it's all about finding a key. Like you're like going through this mansion and finding a key to get to a door that gets you deeper in the mansion. And it has some like neat little boss fights, and it's got a lot of personality and character to it. And what like very impressive lighting and just graphics. Not playing it now, like it's clearly an old game, but you're like, damn, they really pulled some shit off in this. Yeah, I really liked it, but like, yeah, I guess if I got halfway through the game in one session, so I could probably go back and finish it. But I got the idea. I get it. It's pretty good.
Worth giving a look to.
Yeah, I would say this though, that like, GameCube games seem to have. Because it's early in the 3D era, like some wacky ideas about how the camera should control. So, like, you know, you're using a flashlight or a vacuum through a lot of this, and the aiming, like the Y axis, it's like up is down and down is up. But you can do universal button mapping so it's not built into the game. Like it's not built in the game, but like you could pull up the suspend menu, right? Mm-hmm. And you could swap the up and down, but you just have to remember that, because like if you go to another game where it's normal, it's still gonna be swapped. You have to like set it back to default. So yeah, I was able to fix it with that, but like I just can't play a game. It's the same thing with like if you play Wind Waker on GameCube, like you know. The x-axis is like off, like left is right and right is left. It's like, dude, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like,
yeah.
What are
you guys thinking? Yeah, so that's a weird thing with some of the PlayStation 2 like platformers, like Sly Cooper and especially Jack and Daxter.
It's hard to go back to when you're used to modern games. Like modern games are unified on that, right? So it's like your brain is like trained to do it the way that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you can fix it. Like that was a reason I didn't play Wind Waker when it first came out on here, because I was like, oh, this. As soon as I touched the cameras, I was like, this sucks. But you can do button mapping, like a forced button mapping that overrides everything on Nintendo Switch Online. So
nice.
It's just it'll affect not just the game you're playing, but all of them. But you can always just go back to default.
Well, cool. I may give that one a go.
Luigi's Mansion is cool. Did you play? Did you guys play like two or three?
I played three.
Yeah, three is great. But like, this is much more. Like the first one is it's smaller. It's a shorter game, obviously. But like, it's much more that Resident Evil feel of like. Okay, there's this locked door. How do I get in here? Keep exploring around and figure out, get the key. Like, it is very, like, I was surprised that people were, like, accurate about that, because it feels like Resident Evil, which is great. Because it's, like, three is, I think, like, it'll be, like, a level like that, but then you're going to the next floor, I think that's how it goes.
Yeah.
So it's always, like, a new level. This is all one big level that you're getting more and more access to.
Yeah, I think three was more like you were in a hotel or something and
yeah,
moving up
to floors. Yeah. Three's great. Yeah. Three's probably the best one, but like I think one has like a certain charm to it that I think it's worth checking out.
Two was what, a 3DS game?
Yeah, I played that one as well. I don't remember it. I would put one above two, though.
Okay. I know they re-released two on Switch at some point. I'd never gotten around to playing it. Anyway, yeah, that's all cool. Earl's a liar. So we're gonna call him out. He said he would join us, he said we'll roll in a little late and drunk, but we'll be there.
Somewhere, Earl is gonna be drunk in a gutter. You're gonna feel guilty about calling him a liar.
I mean, it's not incorrect, but I would feel bad if he is in a gutter somewhere. So, Earl, we do
get out of the gutter, there. Earl. At least get home.
Yes, get home. Be safe. So when Earl returns, hopefully next time, we will be talking Resident Evil Apocalypse, which is the next movie that Earl has set up for us. It's not been a good string of movies recently. They've been very bad, and Resident Evil Apocalypse isn't going to fix that. But, well, hopefully we can fight through that. And Mario 40, we'll return to that. We'll get through 11 through 30 next time. Yeah. So, and then games. There's so many games. Jeff will maybe have finished Dragon Quest. Tony may have finished Ghost of Yotai at that point.
I hope so.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's not next week, but coming soon. Once Metroid hits, I'm dropping everything and playing that. Like, I'm going to actually just focus on that game and enjoy it. And what's cool is I accidentally signed up for vacation that week months ago. And so that was serendipity for me.
When is Metroid, Jeff?
December 4th. So it was about a month off, but a few weeks away. I'm going to try to get everything I can done before then, but I'm going to actually that game I don't want to play divided with other games. I want to experience playing through the new Nintendo game.
Well, Jeff will be prepping. He's going to be finishing everything in the next 2 weeks so that he is ready for Metroid.
I'll still be stuck on level 7 of Ball Pit and the end of Dragon Quest 1.
All right. Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Mario 40, Resident Evil Apocalypse, and a look at the Black Friday deals. So we'll be a week off from that. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.